Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings again in that matchless and glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life, eternal life, unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Yes, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy the hunger and the thirst of the human spirit. He is the only one who can send the Holy Spirit into our spirit to do the work of salvation, to give to us that gift of eternal life. I trust that you have partaken of the Lord Jesus, that you have invited him to come into your life, that you have received that gift of salvation, forgiveness of sin, peace with God, and eternal life. You remember we're studying why was Jesus born in a stable and laid in a manger, and we've been discussing how that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And we've been talking about the various needs of the human race, the individual need, the family need, the national need, how that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then we've gone back to the Old Testament. We've noticed that Abel chose a firstling of the flock, reminding us that the Lord Jesus Christ was the firstborn of the Virgin Mary. We've talked about Abraham, who offered up Isaac, and God stayed his hand and kept him from killing Isaac. And he heard a noise behind him, and there was a ram caught in a thicket. And Abraham turned around and offered up the ram in the place and in the stead of his son Isaac. You remember there in Genesis chapter 22, there were two men that went with Abraham, reminding us of the two men that were crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. They went a 3 days' journey to Mount Moriah. And you recall that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the grave 3 days and three nights. Isaac carried the wood up Mount Moriah, reminding us of the cross the Lord Jesus Christ bore. And Isaac asked his father, "Where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham told him, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." And that's exactly what the Lord God did. And then you recall Jesus said to the people there in his day in John chapter 8 verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Yes, there Abraham saw the day when God's Lamb would take the place of every sinful man to die for the sins of the world. God's Lamb that was innocent and without sin, taking our place. Even as we saw in Exodus chapter 12, in the instructions God gave to Moses for the children of Israel concerning the Passover, they were to choose a lamb that was without blemish. And we saw how that the Lord Jesus Christ was without sin. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, Hebrews 4:15 tells us, yet without sin. The lamb was to be a male, and so the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a male of the first year, reminding us of the firstborn. Pardon me. The lamb was to be separated or kept up for 4 days. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 tells us that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Reminding us of the dispensations of time. What is a dispensation? It's a period of time during which God deals with man in regards to some specific revealed will of God for mankind. Adam and Eve sinned and thus were expelled from the Garden of Eden, and the dispensation of conscience began when man was led by his conscience regarding what was right and wrong. Then came the dispensation of human government, when government was established and man began to operate under human government. Then came the dispensation of promise, when God promised to Abraham that he would give him a son who someday would rule and reign over the entire earth, and that God would bless the nations that blessed Abraham and his descendants. And of course, you know, the descendants of Abraham became the nation of Israel. Maybe you recall how that Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had two sons. One was named Esau, one was named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and he had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And so it was through Jacob, that lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his 12 sons, and on through the tribe of Judah and the descendants, that David was born, and God made a covenant with David that someday there would be a son of David, a descendant of David, that would set upon the throne to rule over the entire earth. That promise has yet to be fulfilled, but that will come to pass. After the dispensation of promise and the covenants God made with Abraham came the dispensation of law, and it was under the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings, they're going by Mount Sinai. That was where God met with Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments. And that was the Ten Commandments were to open man's eyes to his sin and help him to see that he needed a Savior and a Redeemer. At the end of the dispensation of law came the dispensation called grace. And it was at the beginning, the end of the dispensation of law, and the beginning of the dispensation of grace, that God's Lamb appeared and was crucified on an old rugged cross for the sins of the whole world. And thus four dispensations, four periods of time, transpired from the time man fell into sin until the Lord Jesus Christ came to deliver us from our sin. So the Lamb was penned up for 4 days, and it pictured that period of time, approximately 4,000 years, that would take place until God's Lamb would come to die for the sins of mankind. Fifthly, you recall the Lamb was to be killed by the whole congregation of Israel. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6 points this out and makes this clear. And ye shall keep it up, the Lamb, until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And so it was that the Lamb, God's Lamb, was kept up for 4 days, and then the Lamb of God was slain by the whole congregation of Israel. Matthew 27:25 says, the people, you recall that Pilate said, I'm washing my hand of this man's innocent blood, and then answered all the people and said, in Matthew 27:25, his blood be on us and on our children. Oh, beloved, be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Be careful the words that come out of your mouth, because it may bring judgment upon your family and upon your children. Be careful, for here the leaders of the nation of Israel said, his blood be on us and on our children. And, beloved, it has been For centuries the nation of Israel has suffered under the judgment of God because of her sin, and because of her rebellion against God, and because of her turning from God. And yet God has used that to bring we Gentiles, we who know not Jesus Christ, giving us the opportunity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Him as Savior, to be born again by the Spirit of God. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7, the blood of the Lamb had to be applied God's way for deliverance from death. O beloved, God's blood has to be applied His way for you and I to be delivered from the lake of fire, a place of eternal judgment and torment and punishment for men, women, boys, and girls who die in their sin, who reject God's offer of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 in the New Testament states, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And there Paul was writing to we Gentiles who were far off from the truth. God's chosen people were the nation of Israel, and we were far off. But the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain, and His blood was offered for our sin. And we are brought nigh to God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Have you invited Him into your life? Oh, my friend, let me encourage you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Him as Savior, for He is the only way of salvation. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25a states, "Whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation," or a mercy seat, "through faith in His blood." Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. Romans 5:9, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood." Beloved, did you know that the blood of Jesus Christ, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God moves into your spirit and applies the blood of Christ, makes you pure and clean and holy within your spirit? He literally justifies each one of us through the blood of Christ. And that word justified means we're declared righteous, just as if we'd never sinned. Oh, beloved, how good to know the truth. Till next time, goodbye.